will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
James gave us some good stuff on prayer. Amen. And we've been doing, I believe, really well in our teaching about prayer. Now, I can't measure and don't know what we've been doing as far as our life of prayer. Amen. But James talks about prayer life here in the fifth chapter. Amen. He talks about a prayer life. Amen. A life of prayer. Amen. Anybody can say, I have a life of prayer. Amen. We need to have a life of prayer, not just a moment of prayer, but our life should be prayer. Amen. And we'll see in a minute why. But our life should be a life of prayer. In other words, my life is an open communication between me and God. It's always a time that I can talk to him, and he always has an open communication to talk to me. Amen. Me and God, we got a two-way radio. And he can just say something, and I hear him, and I can say something, and he hears me. Amen. I don't have to dial him up. Amen. And all I have to do is key it up. What's the key? Faith. Come on. Amen. So let's go and look at James chapter number 5. And we're going to do our best to take our time and be clear, and maybe you'll get a word that'll be encouraging to you on today. Amen. James chapter 5, and we're going to look at starting at verse number 13. Amen. James chapter 5, verse number 13, and I would go through how James was the brother of Jesus, and I'd go through all of that stuff to talk to you about, but I don't know if I have enough time, so I'm going to jump right in. Even though he was the brother of Jesus, he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after he died and rose from the dead. Amen. Isn't that something, how people may not believe in you until you go through something? Mm-hmm. Amen. People don't believe that you are the Christian that you say you are until they can see you go through something and come from what you've been through. Amen. James, his brother James, did not believe that he was the Messiah until he saw that he died, went through hell, and came back to the grave and resurrected. Amen. So now we need to realize that we can't complain about the things that we go through, because the things that we go through are only proving that we are the children of God that we say that we are. And you're proving it to somebody who's watched you for a long time that you are a child of God. Amen. Amen. But look at what James says in verse 13, and we're going to try to deal with that. Verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let's just talk about that first. We're talking about how James, I do have an outline. I guess I could give you some of what it looks like. But verse 13 through 16, part A, is what I call the call to prayer. James calls us to pray for many reasons in those three verses. But verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Amen. James is speaking primarily about prayer and the healing of the sin-sick believer or the sick believer. However, he also gives us insight in how we ought to have a daily prayer, a daily life of prayer. Amen. He sets before us challenges, and he also calls us to pray. So when he talks about prayer, he gives us some subjects. He says that if any among you, if they're afflicted, let him first of all do what? Pray. Now the word affliction or afflicted here, it means to endure a hardship. In other words, those who are walking through valleys, who are in trials in their life, it is time for you to pray. There are many people that when they go through something, they say, well, you know, I can't pray. I won't pray. I don't feel like praying. But that is the time when you need to slap your flesh into subjection and say, even though I don't feel like it, I must pray. That is the time you know that you got to pray the most, because your flesh is not going to want to pray because of all that you've been through. And mentally you are exhausted because of the valley that you've been in. Amen. But we need to know that he says for us, if you are afflicted, if you are enduring some hardships. Now, how many here, you don't have to raise your hand, but think, you know, you can think back, think about the day and think about what you're going through. Are you going through a hardship in some form? Maybe you're going through a hardship with your finances. Maybe it's a hardship with your children. Maybe it's a hardship with some relationships, some friendship, a hardship on your job, a hardship. You're going through something, and it brings you to a place of a valley. He's saying that you are that individual that must pray if you're going through it. Amen? Look at this. He says, let him what? Pray. The word prosukame. In the Greek, it means, the word pray is prosukame in the Greek. It means to supplicate, to worship, and earnestly make a prayer go through. So I need to supplicate, I need to worship, and get this prayer to go through. Amen? Amen. He said, let him pray. Amen. Let him earnestly supplicate. Let me earnestly pour out my heart to God. God knows what's in my heart, so I might as well pour it out to him. Come on and say amen. And so he says, if you're going through a hardship, you need to find yourself having prayer. Then he says, look at this. He talks about the person. He said, if you're afflicted, he says, pray. But then he turns around and says, but if you feel good, what are you to do? He says, let him sing psalms. Now, this is very interesting, because when we look at the word sing psalms, the word sing psalms is the word psalo, which really comes from the word, the root word sail, which we get our root for a psalm, to sing, right? And what it really means, look at this, the root of it, what the root of this word really means, it means to rub and to touch the surface, all right? Also, look at this, it also means to twitch or to twang. It means to play like a string instrument, like as into worship. Now, the one thing I like about that, it says it means to pull, to tug, or to touch, right? It means to touch the surface. So when I am afflicted, I pray. But when I feel better, when I'm merry, when I'm happy, look at that. I was afflicted, but now I feel better. I'm happy. Now my prayer turns into something that I'm tugging. I'm tugging on God. And what it really means to twitch means to tug or to pull quickly or sharply. In other words, it means that I need to be tugging on God, pulling. Oh, you know how you try to get somebody's attention? Hey, pull their sleeve, pull their clothes. I need to be tugging on God. Even when I'm happy, I need to tug, but we wait till we get sad. And we say, God, I need your help. But God said, when you're merry, when you're happy, that's the best time to tug on me. That's the best time to pull on me, to twitch or to twang. And what that really means is it means to touch, it means to rub the surface, as if a person was playing a musical instrument and they played and they pulled on the string instruments to make a sound that would be loud enough or that would be vibrant enough, that would cause a vibration wherever it was. So when I'm happy, I need to make a vibrating sound to shake up some things. Amen. He says, if you're merry, let him what? Sing psalms. Let him pull. Let him tug on God a while. So that when am I supposed to pray the most? When I'm happy. But we pray the most when we're sad. We pray the most when we're afflicted. And what it means, it also means that to rub continuously or to touch the surface. I need to touch God. I need to rub. I need to continue at him constantly until I get in his presence, even though I'm cheerful, even though I'm what? I'm happy. Amen? Amen. So even though I'm of good cheer, even though I'm happy, I need to pray until my prayer turns into a psalm or a song to sing. You often wonder why sometimes the elder people, when they pray, it sounds like their prayer turned into a song. Oh, Lord, now Jesus. Well, the reason it did, because they was twanging on them. They was come on and say amen. They was twitching. They were cello on him. They were pulling. They were tugging. They were touching the surface so that they could get to God. Maybe they wasn't going through something, but you'll hear them every now and then say, Lord, and go to the nursing home. And Lord, I thank you for my children. And they begin to say those kind of things because they were in a good place and they decided that this is the time that I need to pray. All right, let me go on a little further. Affliction. He says this is why we need the call to prayer for affliction. Call to pray if you're happy. So basically he's telling us that we need to have a prayer life, whether you're sick, you're afflicted, or whether you're happy, you still need to pray and praise God. Amen. Then he says in verse 14, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. Look at this. He says, is there any sick? When we are sick or others are sick, we are supposed to call on Jehovah Rapha, the God that can heal us. The scripture says that he sent his word and healed past tense us. He sent his word and healed us. There's healing in his wings. There's healing in the word of God. But we have to know how to get the healing. How do I get it? I get it through a communication. You know, you can send money through a communication now. You go over to MoneyGram or Western Union, and guess what? Through the communication source, money can get to you anywhere you are in the world. Guess what? If I go at the right place and get in the right place and do the right thing, I can get that money. Amen? Show them my ID that this is who this is intended for. Come on and say, man, I'm going somewhere. Y'all listen to me. If I can show them my ID that the money that was sent was intended for me, I can get it. So what do you have to do in order for me to, he said, that if any sick, let me call for the elders. Let me give a call. I need something. And he says, look, if I go to MoneyGram and I show them that ID, I need to ID myself. I need to know who I am and prove and go with confidence that here's my ID. I am a legal person in the United States. I am a citizen of Louisiana. This is my name. Look on there. All my information is there. And I identify with this, what was sent. And so since I identify, it was sent in my name, but the sender's name also. So who's the sender? Jesus is the sender. God is the sender. He sent his word and he healed us. And so his word can heal us. We got to receive it, but we got to know how to identify. Identify yourself. Identify. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am strong. I'm not weak. I am the head and not the tail. Identify yourself. Amen? Amen. We need to pray. He says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? In other words, diseased, feeble, impotent, weak, anything like that. If you're weak, sick, diseased, feeble, impotent, any situation like that, he said, let him call for the presbytery or the elders, those ministers of the church. And he says, and let them pray over him. Amen. The word pray there is the same word prosokomi, which means let them make prayer and worship over him. Now we pray over, but we don't go into a worship. The same word pray in verse 13 talks about worship, and that's why he says now after you've afflicted, you pray, now you become merry because you worship, and now you're singing in your worship, right? Then he says if you're sick, call for the elders, and what are they to do? They're to pray. Not just say, Lord, help them, please, Jesus, if it be your will. That's not how we pray over the sick. If it be your will. Let us pray in worship over him. In other words, I need to turn my prayer into a open forum for God to come in. Because a lot of us, I'm going to go on and pray for him. We pray for him and we gone. But we don't open up for God to come in. We don't have an opportunity for God to actually do the healing. Amen. He said, let them pray over him, worship and pray over him, anoint him with oil, anointing him with oil while you worship, while you're praying over him, anointing him with oil. Amen. You know what that word anointing means? It is the word alipho in the Greek. And what it means is to oil with an ointment. To oil with an ointment, almost like a perfume, a perfumed ointment. So basically, he's saying that what you do when the elders come, the elders ought to come and make things more pleasant when they show up. How does it become more pleasant? Because I oil you down with symbolically with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. I touch you with the oil and rub you down, amen? And I begin to smear this on you, and it ought to bring a calming, and it ought to bring a good fragrance. You ever walked in a place and you smell something, and you say, oh, that smell good. In other words, it ought to make a difference, and you ought to discern that there's something different about my prayer or something different about my worship than it is about when somebody else just show up and say, Lord, if it be your will. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a breath of fresh air when you come in the room. Amen. When I oil you down with the anointing oil, it ought to be like a perfume that is going on you. And it said, oil him down where? In what? The name of the Lord. I'm not oiling you down in a powerless name. I'm not praying over you and putting anointing oil on you in a powerless name. But I'm putting that on you in the name that is above all names. The name that at every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The name that makes demons tremble at the sound of that name. Amen. Amen. He said, we need to pray for that one. And when we pray for them, when we pray, and you notice what he said, let them call for the elders, let them call for the elders, call toward him, summon him, invite him. Amen. And so some people think, well, you know what? He ain't even go see her. I was talking to a guy and said, man, you know, one was going to the church, he ain't even go see her. I was wondering, I said, when she was well, I wonder if she called for him. I wonder. We have to summon. Say, hey, I want to get better. I'm not going to sit up here with my heart getting hard and say, well, he should have came anyway. Mm-mm. Call and say, hey, I want to get better. Would you come pray? Amen. Invite. Amen. And so we have to pray for those that are sick. Amen. Then let's see. He says in verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Amen. So we look at the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is the strength of your prayer. It is the strength of your prayer. Faith gives prayer a strength and effectiveness. God answers prayer, but he does so in response to the faith of his people. If you read Matthew 21 and 22, it'll tell you. James makes it clear that faith is an essential ingredient of effective praying. Faith is the strength of your prayer. So what is he saying? I need to have some, even though he gave me a call to prayer, I need to have confidence in prayer. Amen. He calls us to pray in affliction, in sickness, in joy, and for the brethren. He calls us to pray for, but we have to realize that the strength of our prayer is faith. And if we don't have confidence in God, the word faith, there's the word pistis, which means to trust. I trust him when I open up my mouth. I trust that he's going to do what I'm asking him to do. The scripture said that when Jesus walked up to Lazarus' grave, as bad as it was, they said, Lord, by now he stinketh. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? Oh, he stink by now. Jesus said, move the stone. I don't care what it smell like. I don't care how bad it's gotten. I don't care how rotten it is. But I have something I want to do. So move the stone away. And then what did Jesus say? Father, I am glad that you heard it's me. He already heard. He had confidence That's the strength of your prayer, is when you're confident. If you're not confident, what's the point in praying? What's the point in praying if you said, Lord, I don't know if you really want to do it, but I please ask that you do it. That's not a confident prayer. That's not a prayer of faith. So your prayer has no strength. And it's not going to encourage the afflicted person. It's not going to encourage the person that's weak, that's feeble, that's sick, or whatever the case. It's not going to encourage them to rise up from their sick bed because they're sitting there saying, Lord, I hope you do too. But you should say, by faith, you should say what the word says, that with his stripes. Peter said, we were. It's already done. Now let me live it out. We healed. Amen. So we need to know the strength of our prayer is including the faith element. Amen. And he said that the prayer of faith, look at what it does. The prayer of faith saves the sick. Sozo, with do well if you pray the prayer of faith. It does them well. It does something for them if you pray the prayer of faith. What is your prayer doing for somebody? When you pray, does your prayer do something for someone? Does it cover them? Does it protect them? Does it make them better? Does it save them? Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we don't take prayer serious. There's a story of a boy that went to visit this family, and he got over there. He was only 7 years old. He got there, and they began to sit down at the table, and they were getting ready to eat. And everybody just started digging in, and the boy, he looked, and he bowed his head, and he said his prayer. Then he opened up his eyes, and boy, they was eating. He said, oh, I see y'all do just like my dogs. He said, my dogs do the same thing. They jump right in. They don't pray either. Not to pray means that we act just like some dogs who has no sense of his master whenever he's eating good. Whenever things are going well, has no sense. Oh, my goodness. He says, the prayer of faith. Save the sick. And look, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now we need to see that we have the strength of prayer in our faith, but then we have the source of our prayer being answered by the Lord. Look at this. It's not, and that's why you got to quit praying and saying, Lord, I hope I can heal them. I hope I can deliver them. Hope I can pick them up. Hope I can get them right. You look at this. He said, and the Lord shall. So you have to rely on God. Your prayer of faith, your prayer of reliance, your prayer of trust, your prayer of alliance, because you're aligning yourself with the word of God. It should cause you to rely on God, and God, you, and he will be the one to what? Say or raise him up. And if he committed sins, guess what? He said they'll be forgiven him. So your prayer can raise him up. Yeah, he was in a low place. He was depressed. He was in the valley. But your prayer raises him through God. Amen. That's why it's important to pray. Because, you know, some people, they get low. And we say, well, you know what? They ought to just stop that. They too old for that. But they low. Why don't we pray and let God raise them? Come on and say amen. And he said, if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Amen? They shall be forgiven. We have to have confidence. We have to have faith, because our faith is a strength and God is our source when we pray. Amen? We need to have confidence that the word of God, the power of salvation, God's word will be what we need. It's the source to get us out of the dungeon, out of the ditch, out of the valley, and cause us to be upright before God. All right, verse 16 says that, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Look at that. He says, now, we ought to pray for who? Our brother. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. Acknowledge, fully agree, profess your faults, your shortcomings, your transgressions, your errors, your side slip. He said, confess those things one to another. But what he's saying here is that when we confess them, they have to be brothers. Amen? He said, acknowledge them. If your and this is the thing. Sometimes your brother can come to you and you can be at fault. And what it says here, confess means to agree with. If you're at fault and your brother said, hey, you know, that wasn't right. It's not our job to say, you know what? Let me tell you something. You don't judge me. Don't tell me. What about your life? That is not the way we do it. When he said confess your faults, he's saying that you need to agree with your brother that you made a mistake. It's not saying that, well, let me go think about all the stuff I done wrong. Let me see who I can trust. You know about the preachers that got together. You know, remember the story about the preachers who got together and during the time when they were going through this confess your faults movement in the church, they got together and they said, man, we need to confess our faults, but we can't confess them to the people in the church, the laity, because, you know, they find out what we're doing, man, they'll leave the church. So they got together and they said, let's confess our sins. One guy, he said, man, brothers, I'm glad we got here today that we were able to get together and do this, man. It's going to relieve my soul. He said, I just want you guys to know that I got a bad problem with women. I love chasing women. Then another one said, you know, brothers, I you know, I kill a pint right before I preach. I love to drink. And another one said, you know, I sometimes steal from the church. I my hands are a little sticky. Then the last guy, he said, you know what, brothers, I'm glad we are here today. He said, I'm really happy that we are here and that we're confessing our faults. He said, because my problem is I love to gossip. And he was going to tell everybody because he loved to gossip. So when he said confess your faults, notice what it says. It means, it's the word eleon, which means to have to talk to one another in a mutual way. It means to acknowledge. It means to confess, profess, or just fully agree. I agree with you, brother, that I messed up. I agree that I need to change something about myself. Amen. I agree with you. Amen. And then he says, once you come to that agreement, look at this. Pray one for another. He didn't say call Sally on the phone and say, Lord, that boy done lost his mind. It's time to pray for him because he down there with that girl again.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpsey, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpsey, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Ah,